You've all heard of Biddy Earley. Biddy is known about all over Ireland. Maybe not a lot of people would know. You'll see, again, one of the books about her is out there. Have a look if you wish, because people, they know her name. Lots of people think she was a witch. She wasn't. Biddy was a banfasser. Biddy was a healer. Some people said she was a clairvoyant. Now, I've heard the stories about her. That's why I did the research I did about her. And again, they're the old people's stories. But she was an amazing woman. And the ruins of her house are near Feakle yet, in a place called Kilbarn. You can still see the haggard that her house was in. The ruins of it are there. And the old boreen up to it now is overgrown with briars and bushes. But when you think of all the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who went up that little boreen in the 19th century for her help, you know, it would make you sort of stand back and think, boys, what strange things happened. And she was genuine. And lots of people think she's only a legend or a myth. Since I did the book about her, blasted, haven't I found her death cert? I found her death cert in Innes Courthouse. She died in April 1874. She was married 4 times. She wasn't too popular with the clergy, because, of course, she was doing what they should have been doing, in other words, curing people. They talked about it. She was doing it. Maybe that was part of the reason why. But apart from all that, most of the stories about Biddy are serious stories, because look, you can imagine what it was like to stand in that boreen and look around you and people with every class of a disease, blind people, crippled people, people with cancer, people with every disease known to man went to Biddy Earley to try to get a cure. And she cured thousands, there's no doubt. It depended on your faith. If you believed she could do it, you had a good chance of being cured. But I heard recently a story that's not in the book, because it was only recently I heard it. And I heard it in Abbeyfield, in County Limerick. I went to the brother of the publican in Brosnow, where myself and my sister and my brother did all our drinking when we were young. Now, the publican's dead since, but I found his brother was still alive, and I went to visit him a couple of months ago. And he had a story about Biddy Earley. Now, it's unusual to get a story about her in West Limerick, because mainly it would be Galway, Tipperary, Clare, of course, bits of North Kerry, East Limerick, you know, thereabouts, all around. You get most of them there. But this story, now, I don't necessarily believe it, but I'll let you know for what it's worth anyway, and you can judge, like they were saying here tonight, judge for yourself. There was this woman, and she was expecting a child. Now, at the time, poor people, there was no doctor, to be all midwives. And midwives were great women, they knew their business, they were professionals. If you had a good midwife, she was as good as any doctor. The woman was near her time, the midwife was called, and the child was born, a boy. And of course, when the child, everything went fine, everything went grand, except for one small thing. When they were washing the child, cleaning up the child, you know, to bring him back to the mother, to show that, you know, the proud mother, that, look, you have a son, they noticed that sticking out of where the child's belly button should be, there was a screw. A screw. And of course, they had never seen the like before. What in God's name is that? Now, the first thing to do was, of course, ask the midwife. She had delivered thousands of children. If anybody should know, she'd know. But she had to admit, God knows, she said, I never saw the like before. But she said, leave it be. There must be a reason for it. They did. But as you might guess, it was a bloody nuisance. Because, you know, claws were always getting caught on it. But the child grew up and he was quite healthy, a fine, strong child. It came time for his first communion. And they didn't want the child to be embarrassed in front of all the other children when his communion would be made. So they went to the priest the night before and they said, Father, look, we have a little bit of a problem here. And the priest understood. He was a nice man. He understood. And they asked him, of course, could he do anything about it, which was more relevant. So I said, bring him to me, bring him. And the child was brought. His shirt was pulled up. There was the screw sticking out of his belly button. And the priest had to admit that, by God, he says, I never saw anything like it either, but he blessed the child anyway. And he says, look, I'll make sure tomorrow that everything is done discreetly. And he did. The child was, the communion was made, and there was no embarrassment to anybody. Anyway, time went on, and it came time for confirmation. Now, this was different, of course, because the bishop would be there, and his lordship was a big man in those days, and you had to make sure that everything went according to plan. Now, none of them knew his lordship, but the priest did. And they came to the priest before the confirmation and they said, Father, would you have a word with his lordship just so that, you know, things will... The priest knew exactly what to do. After all, hadn't he done it himself for the child's communion? He did have a word with the bishop. But the bishop was curious, and when all the confirmation was over, he said, can I have a look at this child? The child was brought into the sacristy. The bishop said, please, you know, and of course the parents were there. They opened up the shirt and there was the screw sticking out. Now they expected the bishop would be able to do something, but he had to admit, I never saw the like, he says. But he said, leave it, there must be a reason for that. Anyway, the child, the young man as he was now, grew on, everything went fine, his health was okay. He started going out with women, but as the man who told me the story said, this was a bit of a problem. For the simple reason that when they, as your man said, when they came to close encounters, this bloody thing was getting in the way. Now, he met this woman. They got on very well. She understood him. He understood her, even though they mightn't be as close as they could be. And they intended getting married. The problem for there, of course, was money for the wedding. Now, the father and mother, they weren't rich people, so they had a couple of cattle. And they decided they'd take the cattle to the November fair in Abbeyfail. Hope they'd be able to get enough for the cattle to pay for the wedding, which they did. Father and the son himself came with him into the fair that morning. Now, Abbeyfail, as you know, down the hill, into Abbeyfail, into the square. Father Casey's statue is there in the square and around and onto Newcastle West and that. But it's a long, long, long street. Now, it was a very slow fair. There wasn't many buyers there in Offham County Meath and Tipperary and places like that. And they were hungry and they were cold and they were waiting. And eventually the father said to the son, he said, you know, the son now with the screw, he said, look, he said, I'll go down the street. I'll inquire, are things as bad at the other side of town as they are up here? And off he went, left the son in charge of the cattle just to make sure that they didn't get mixed up with the rest of the cattle. And the father, as he looked around him and went down and talked to neighbours, God, didn't he hear that Biddy Airlie was in town? Now, everybody knew her name, and they knew what she stood for, but nobody had ever met her, and he wondered, what's she doing here? Now, I don't know what Biddy was doing so far away from home as in Abbeyfield, but remember, she travelled here and there, because if people needed her, they were prepared to pay big money if they needed a cure or something like that. And remember, landlords, as well as tenants, hired Biddy. Now, I won't say hired, because she took no money. You paid her what you thought she was worth. She never asked for payment. But anyway, he heard that she was down the town, and he made his way down, hoping that maybe Biddy might be able to do something for the son before the marriage took place. He wanted a grandchild, you see. So, if he got, this didn't prosper, the prospects, if this bloody thing remained for a grandchild, weren't great. Eventually, he tracked her down. She was below in a pub, inside in the snug, giving advice, there was a queue of people. He had to take his place in the queue, and eventually he got to meet her. And he explained his case very, very briefly, and kind woman that she was, she said, bring him down, and I'll have a look. He ran up the street, delighted with himself. He said to the son, she'll talk to you, she's the woman that knows. They left the cattle there with a neighbour to mind them. Down they came. Now they had to queue up again, but eventually when they got into Biddy, first thing she asked was, show me. The boy, of course, was used to this at this stage because the midwife had asked him, the priest had asked him, the bishop had asked him the same thing, and none of them could do anything. But he pulled up the shirt anyway, and Biddy looked at the screw. And she was the first one that didn't say, oh, let it be, there must be a reason for it. No, she said, look, there's only one thing that'll do anything for that boy. She said, the next night of the full moon, at midnight, go out into your own property now, garden, haggard, field, whatever it is, in your own property, and at the stroke of midnight, she said, pull up your shirt and expose that to the light of the moon and wait till see what'll happen. Now, of course, that was kind of strange advice, but after all, it was Biddy Airlie speaking, and she'd take nothing, all she said was, just do what I told you. So we got there, went home, told it to the wife at home. Now, the wife was a clever woman, shrewd woman, and she kept in mind exactly what they told her that Biddy had said. New moon, midnight, on your own property, And she was determined because she wanted to see her son happily married, and she wanted to see grandchildren too. And she was on the lookout and waited, whatever about them forgetting, she wouldn't. And by God, when the night of the new moon came, there she was to remind them, remind the son. "Now, come on," she said. "No, he remembered, but she wasn't going to let him forget." At the stroke of midnight, she had him out in the field behind the house and told him, just as the clock started to strike, pulled up his shirt. And as the man told me the story, straight away, down out of the moon came this moonbeam in the shape of a screwdriver. And, "And what do you think?" says your man. "His ass fell off." Now, they're not my words. I'm only repeating what I heard, because I was there like a fool listening to him, and I was waiting for the rest of the story. That was the story, you know. That's why I say I don't necessarily believe that story. I believe, in fact, that was a joke that was attached to Biddy early. Because, as I say, the stories about Biddy, have a look at the book as you're going out, and you'll see that most of them, they're very serious stories. Because, look, as I know from this, in the past week, sickness or illness is not funny. It's anything but. So, thanks for your patience.